If you are looking for information on how to apply for a grant, you're in the right place. If you weren't looking for that, you're not in the right place. I'm the director for Ewell Baptist Foundation, and I'm just going to open up and just kind of give you a little bit of the history, how this came to be, and talk about one area that is kind of an unwritten rule that probably needs to be written, but so that you'll be aware of that. The foundation, you know, it started in 1980, but we really didn't have a lot of assets until we got into the early 2000s. 2005 is when it became a separate department. It used to be kind of connected to Board of Retirement. But since that time, we've seen phenomenal growth. And about 2010 or 11, we switched our investment policy to invest in dividend-paying stocks. And during that process, I realized, hey, you know what? There are a lot of stocks, these dividend stocks. I don't think I ever turned this on. I guess I'd do that. There's a lot of dividend stocks that, in addition to paying a good dividend, which helps, you know, for us to be able to do run the money management trust program, it also, these stocks tend to go up in value. And we began to observe that and said, so we're beginning to realize all these unrealized capital gains. We could probably capture some of those unrealized gains and maybe start a grant program. And then as it began to unfold, we realized that it was going to be pretty significant. And so in 2015, we did pilot grants. It was just $75,000. And it was only to the national departments because we really just wanted to see how this would work. And then we needed to kind of run a trial run. And then 2017 was the first year that we did the full round of grants. We started at $500,000. Today we're up to $750,000. But our philosophy at the foundation is the Lord has blessed us to be a blessing. And so when we have excess money, we're going to give it back to the denomination. And actually, that was something that happened this year. It was really totally unexpected. We had a really unusual year, and in that we, in addition to the $750,000 in grants, we also made $1.1 million in 21, and we actually gave that away as well, and did it in 22. So over the last 4 months, the foundation's given $2 million to Free Will Baptist Ministries. And that's what our goal is to get the Lord is blessing us, and we want to be a blessing back to the denomination. The one thing that I wanted to cover about the grants that's kind of an unwritten rule is that you got to show us you've got skin in the game, if you know what I mean. If you're applying for you have a $300,000 project and you're applying for a grant of say $150,000, if you don't in your grant proposal you don't have a plan on how you're going to get the rest of that, then we kind of look at that and say, well, so you're really asking us to fund all of this, and we can't afford to fund everybody's project. $750,000 sounds like a lot of money, but when you start thinking about all the ministries that are applying, it's not much at all. So we can't fully fund every project. So think about when you're writing your grant proposal, you know, if we need $150,000, we'd like to get a $150,000 grant on a $300,000 project. How are you going to get the other? We need to know that. So keep that in mind as you're writing your grant proposal. And I'm going to turn it over to whoever's next. I'm not sure who's the next.
All right. So our chairman, Bobby Edwards, is not here. He's going to be here just a little bit. His son is competing, which definitely takes priority, as we all understand. A couple of things that he would talk about that I do want to mention to you. In the process of these grant proposals as you're writing, we are trying to keep things as uniform as possible, because when you have approximately 60, which is how many we had this time, 56, 57, and then that number's growing every year when we try to give $750,000 away, but there's a $4 million worth of request, trying to keep things uniform where we in our board meeting can kind of sink our teeth into that, that is a big help. So the cover sheet, which was mentioned, that is a big thing that If you don't have a cover sheet, then we're not even going to read the grants from this point forward, because that tells us on that cover sheet, it kind of lays things out for you. And Bobby will talk a little bit more about this when he gets here. But that does help us right out of the gate know this is who it's for, this is what it's for, this is how much they're asking, and this is what they're going to do with it. So those are just some intangible things that we desperately need as we are trying to navigate through this process. Our heartbeat, and I'm very thankful for Brother David. Brother David has a heartbeat for our denomination, and this is a really awesome opportunity. I remember when I was elected onto the board, and I serve as the assistant chairman now, but when I was elected to the board, the idea of being able to give money away was pretty cool, because typically a lot of our denominational offices, they need money. And it's not that the foundation doesn't need money, we get it from other means, but what we're able to do is we're able to give money away and come alongside every single denominational office, every single local church, every Christian school and camp. I mean, this is the variety of requests that we get, and we just get a ton of joy in being able to give back to all of these. And so that is the foundation's heartbeat, whether it's the grants, whether it's what we're trying to do with the Together Way Endowment with Dr. Moody, whether it's the estate planning. There's just a lot of ways where the foundation is able to help. And so this is a big way. We are about kingdom work. But in saying that, there also has to be a process. And so that's why the rubric exists. There was a lot of discussion over the last 3 years, especially on developing a rubric which would help you know how to write a grant request. How many of you before this had ever written a grant request? Raise your hand. Okay, so one. How many of you have already applied since this past time? You've applied with the foundation for a grant. How many of you have applied? And then so a number of you have not. Okay, so this is great. So you guys are getting in. This is almost like your cliff notes for grant writing, all right? This is a cheat sheet for you guys to know how to really apply for a grant. There are certain things that we are looking for. And let me just go ahead and say this. As we are navigating through this, we do have to look at this as a committee. We have to look at it objectively and subjectively, all right? So objectively, what does that mean? To look at something objective, it means to make an unbiased, balanced observation based upon facts which can be verified. And so that's how, when you make an objective decision, that's how you make that decision. But then there is also an equal level of subjectivity as well, where subjective decision making means that we have to make, and I hate to even use this word, but we have to make some assumptions. Because sometimes those assumptions are there because, Bobby, your mic's up here and Brent's going to get you wired up, which, good luck with that. So we have to assume some things that maybe are either not in the grant request itself, or maybe it's because we're unfamiliar with your ministry. There's a lot of ministries that, you know, we are familiar with. And because Free Will Baptist is such a small family, a lot of those that are around that table, including myself, I know a lot of these people that are applying. And it's hard to say yes to somebody and no to somebody. Today, I'm standing with two guys I love dearly, two guys I've ministered with for many years, two guys that both have applied for grants, all right? And Brother David, he walks by, and we're getting ready to go to our board meeting luncheon. And when Brother David walks by, they waved to Brother David, and one of them, and I won't tell you who, he looked at me and said, "Hey, by the way, thank you for your part in awarding us the grant this past year. It really meant a lot to our ministry." And then he was talking about all the things that they were going to do with it. The whole time, I know that this other guy who I'm talking to also applied, didn't get a grant. And I'm like, "Would you please not talk right now, you know, because this is making it really, really awkward." But it's not a good old boy system. We are trying to be as balanced and fair and as kingdom-minded as possible when we do these grants. And so with that being said, we as a committee developed a rubric that we have improved every year. And so that's what we're going to spend some time talking about, so you will know exactly what our grant committee is looking for from a rubric standpoint, so that when we make this decision, objectively and subjectively, we're making the best decision that we feel like, as the Holy Spirit as our guide and this rubric also as a help, we're making the best kingdom decision possible. So at this point, I'm going to ask Mr. Bobby Edwards to come. He is our chairman, and he's going to talk to you about this first part of this rubric.
So I apologize if I repeat something, okay? But we're really glad that you came out and wanted to participate, because we really, really feel like the grant ministry has become very important, and it's been a great opportunity for us as a foundation board and department to be able to support the ministries that you are involved in. And so getting to share with you our heart about how we're making these decisions, we felt like would be really important. And that way you can know better what we're looking for, how it works. But I wanted to just kind of go back, because I had the opportunity to be the chairman for several years. And I remember David and I meet occasionally between board meetings to go over different agenda items and things. And we went to eat. And he said, hey, you know, some of the investments that we've been doing aren't going to be working out because of the, if you remember back in 2008, how many remember 2008? The world fell apart. Well, the investment strategies that we've been using were tied a lot to real estate. And we weren't able to do that anymore. And he said, hey, here's a new direction. What do you think? We talked about it, decided to go for that. Wasn't long until he called me again and said, hey, we're going to have some money that we didn't anticipate, and here's what I'd like to do with it. And he told me about the grant program. And I say that because I think it's important for everybody to know this is something that David came up with, looking at other organizations, ministries, and it shows his heart. He is a giver. And I think it's important for everybody to understand that his heart is to make sure that we're able to give as much back to your ministries and to the Fruitful Baptist denomination as we possibly can. So a couple of things that I want to share with you, and then I'll hit the denominationally essential. So when you apply for a grant, we have given you the open book test. So it's not a mystery about what we're looking at. That rubric that's a part of the grant application from the, you can get it on the website, I think it was handed out to you. That is what we're looking at. And so it's just like in school, when you had an open book test, there are no mysteries, that's it. Now, grant writing, as some of you well know, is an art. There are organizations that make their income and their living off helping people write grant requests. So it is an art, it is a science. What I would tell you is, you know, we are looking at it from a ministry-focused opportunity, and we're using the rubric as our tool to help guide us towards some things that we as a board felt like were important if we're giving out money that's coming from the foundation that's consistent with our charter, which is to help promote the ministry and the mission of Free Will Baptist Ministries. And so what I want to tell you is how you write the grant is important. And I'll give you an example. So every year, we have multiple requests that are similar in nature. So if you were just to boil it down to one or two words, you'd have to say, hey, these are pretty similar things. They're asking for basically the same thing. But when you look at it, they're not. And here's an example. So one of the things that we commonly get requests for is to pave parking lots, right? How many of you have a parking lot that could use repair, right? So we look at those and we think, okay, how does that match with the rubric? Well, I can tell you, I think I've been in every grant committee meeting since we started issuing grants. We've only granted one grant that had to do with the parking lot. And here is the reason that we did. There was a church that said, hey, in our community, we have a lot of handicapped people. What are the things that we need to do in order to minister to handicapped people? And what they recognized is one of those important elements is we need to have a parking lot where it's not a fall risk for handicapped people to be able to come inside our facility. Now, the heart of what they're trying to do is reach the handicap in their community. They realize they have an opportunity. There is a community of handicapped people there, and that's what they're trying to do. And in order to accomplish that, we need this. Now, take that with other grant applications, and they say this. We've been a church for 1,000 years. We've had this pastor and this pastor and this guy, and we're connected back. Benjamin Randall came and preached here. And we get 10 pages of history. And then it says, and now we're struggling, and our parking lot really needs to be fixed. You see the difference? And so when we look at these, then we try to put it with the rubric. That first example, that is going to hit all of these different elements that we're looking at in the rubric. It's going to be high scored on these different elements. The other kind of borders on, this is normal upkeep operations of the church, right? We have a facility, you have capital expense, you have to do that. And so there's a difference there. And I think that's something that people sometimes miss in this grant writing process. So what I encourage you is start with the rubric and then think about what are we really trying to accomplish here, and then how does what we're asking for fit into that broader request? Does that make sense? Okay. The other thing is, I mentioned it kind of in a facetious way, and I'm not meaning to be facetious, but I am. We need to know what you're wanting to do. So make it very obvious what you are and what your intention is and what your ministry opportunity is. What we often find is that if we have a 5 or 6 page application, 3 of those pages are dedicated to the history of that church. I'm glad that they are proud of their heritage. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm a genealogy guy. My wife hates it. But I love the history. But that's not what we're looking at. What we're looking at is, what do you want to do? The fact that you've said, hey, we're a part of this state association, or we're a part of this district association that's a part of the national, that gives us the connection that we're looking for, that you're sufficiently connected to Free Will Baptist for us to be able to consider issuing the grant request. But what we need to know is, what is your vision? What is your ministry passion that you're wanting to do? And then what are you asking us for? Realizing that most ministry opportunities that you have are multifaceted, meaning it's steps. You're going to take steps over a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. So what specifically are you asking the foundation to participate in that ministry with you in granting that request? All right, so those are a couple of things in just looking at it, but I cannot emphasize to you enough the importance of how you write that grant. And sometimes more is not better, okay? Meaning that if you can say it in a paragraph, it's probably well said in a paragraph as opposed to 3 pages. And so if you think about it, if we're looking at 60 requests, sometimes we don't have time to look through all the words. So really hone in on, if you've got a person that's an English teacher in your church, that'd be a great person to enlist in the process of writing your grant, because they can help you whittle down and say, we need to say what's most important so that we convey what we're trying to ask for in a very succinct and precise way. So hopefully that's helpful, because that's one of the couple of the things that we see that really could make a difference. All right, so if you look at your rubric that you have handed out, and that's the screen or the handout that you have with all of the grid on it, I'm tasked with talking about denominationally essential. Now, we are the Free Will Baptist Foundation. So we are a department of the National Association of Free Will Baptist. Free Will Baptist are who we are chartered to minister to. And so denominationally essential is something we feel like is very important as we consider, are we going to issue a grant? And what you'll see is that you have 4 different categories. So those categories are mission, doctrine, growth, and expansion, right? I did that by memory. Is that good? So That's what we're looking for, those four. And so as you move across the grid, you get higher points for the number of those categories that your grant request touches. Okay, so just a high level synopsis. And when we get into these grant committee meetings, sometimes we don't always see exactly eye to eye on what a particular request might mean as far as growth, right? So some of us would say, well, you know, inadvertently, if you improve the parking lot at your church, the idea is that you'll be able to have more people come to your church. So inadvertently, you could reach people in your community. But the request didn't say that, right? The request just said, we need to fix up our parking lot. We got some problems. And so as you look at that, there may be room for discussion in these different categories. But here's kind of a high level of those four different things. So the mission. So what we're looking at is the request something that's going to help make disciples? I mean, that is the Great Commission, right? That's what Free Will Baptists are doing, is trying to make disciples. And that means reaching lost people, helping them to grow in their faith, and then in turn, helping them be able to go out and do that same thing. So does what I'm asking for promote mission? Does it promote doctrine? Okay, so very simple. If you get the treaties, that's the Free Will Baptist doctrine in kind of a nutshell, right? So does it help propel what we believe forward? That doesn't mean that other, you know, Christian organizations that are out there are bad. It just means we are Free Will Baptist Foundation. And so our task, we feel, is to help promote Free Will Baptist doctrine. And we do have people, you know, IM has some partners that aren't specifically Free Will Baptist in their nature, but they have been deemed partner worthy with them, and they apply through IM for grants. And what I'll tell you is, when we get down to the discussion about this particular point, sometimes we say, hey, we don't know that they're really specifically promoting Free Will Baptist doctrine. They're promoting the Bible, but are they doing Free Will Baptist doctrine? And so what we're looking at is, what do we believe? And is this request going to promote that? Growth. Now, you all, how many of you are pastors? So you know there are lots of ways to measure growth, right? We typically like to think of it the number of people that are in the seats, but that's not the only way to measure growth. That's right. And so this category looks at, is it helping people in our denomination grow? And that could be, is it helping people to build their faith so that they become more adept in being able to disciple others? Is it helping them to be able to share their faith? Is it deepening the education of the people in the pews? And so this growth category looks at a whole facet of internal and external factors that we look at. Now, expansion means exactly what it says. Are we expanding the ministry of Free Will Baptist? And so thinking about, are we reaching out to a new community? So we've given some grants to the church in New York that has opened up a deaf ministry. Is that expanding the footprint of Free Will Baptist ministry? Absolutely. And so thinking about, is it going to expand the ministry opportunities that we currently have as Free Will Baptist, whether it's in your community or in the world, is that what I'm asking for helping with that? And so we recognize that in some ways, if you're IM and you're planning a new church in Bangladesh, you kind of intrinsically get some of this, right? And so we understand that every church request is not going to look like an IM request. And so we look at that. And so when you think about it, that expansion element doesn't mean that I'm having to show that I'm reaching the lost people in the jungles of Africa. But what it does mean is, am I expanding the ministry of my church to reach the lost people that are in my town? And to minister to maybe shut-ins, something that's going to expand our ministry. So that's denominationally essential. And I'm going to turn it back over to, I think, Scott. No, Brent's coming next, and he's going to cover the next two elements on the rubric.
Thank you, Brother Bobby. I'm Brent Patrick. I'm pastor of Gateway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I'm one of the elected board members for the foundation. And so I'm going to speak to you on that second element about innovative solution. And let me just spend just a couple of seconds here on that, just the yellow block that you see there. And so again, we're using this rubric here. We're using this this objective scoring system that Scott mentioned just a few minutes ago. And we're trying to assess your grant request to meet the criteria that's set here before. And I'm going to reiterate it one more time. It's the criteria that's here, not necessarily the criteria that you think it ought to be or the criteria that makes the most sense to you. And I don't say that arrogantly, but my son is getting ready to go to college this year. And one of the first things that we said to him was, listen, when you go to class, you get the syllabus. You're going to be graded by most of your professors based on how you write the paper on the objectives that they lay out in front of you. And don't be surprised when you actually get graded off more for your presentation and how you met or didn't meet the objectives than you actually did in getting the material correct. Now, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's those you've been in college, you understand. You've gotten some papers back that you thought you should have gotten a higher score on, but you actually didn't meet the criteria of the rubric. If there's one element in this rubric that is a tipping point, it's this element here, and it's the innovative solution. So let me just read what it says, because there's two highlights that are very important. The first, it says, grant request creatively addresses. That word creatively is the key point. Brother Bobby's just mentioned that here in a sense about the parking lot with the handicapped individuals. It's a little bit of a creative sense. I'm reaching my community. There's a lot of handicapped folks in my community. I'm trying to do something that's going to help them there. It creatively addresses the ministry needs, and it expands discipleship efforts into the future. And so again, this creatively addresses and expands discipleship into the future. Now, I'm a sports guy, and I love all sports. Baseball's my favorite. Basketball, you follow. If you follow any kind of sports, especially basketball, you know that there is a huge argument. Is LeBron James the greatest basketball player ever, or is Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player ever? Now, if you ask me personally, I think Larry Bird's the greatest basketball player ever, but that puts me in another category. There's usually that kind of, there's the argument. And so what do you see on ESPN? Well, you see all the stats for LeBron, and you'll see all the stats for Michael Jordan. It talks about championships, it talks about MVPs, it'll talk about all of those things. And again, we're trying to do numbers versus numbers. Now, I grew up in the Michael Jordan era. And what I will say to you is what makes Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player ever. It's not just the championships. The fan here, not just the championships and a few other kind of non-essentials that go a part of the basketball game. But what Michael Jordan did is he branded the game of basketball. What we see in the NBA today and all the brand that the NBA is, that didn't exist before Michael Jordan. It just didn't. You know, if LeBron has a certain brand or style or shoe, well, that started with Michael Jordan. It just did. The game was not global during Michael Jordan's day. If you watch the documentary about the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan, you found out that what? Well, the game went global pretty quickly. That has to do a lot with Michael Jordan. The reason I'm saying that is if you go stat after stat, it's pretty even if you look at it. But when you consider what Jordan did, yes, LeBron came out of high school, opened up a huge avenue for kids to come out of high school to go straight to the pros. That's great. But in terms of changing the dynamic of the game, branding the game, expanding the game, there's to me where Jordan goes like this. All right? This category is where we take all of the rubric, we take all of your grants, and they'll be just like this, and then we get to this category and we'll go, and a grant just really rises to the top based on it creatively addresses ministry needs. Now, Brother Bobby mentioned the church in New York that is starting really a video podcast for the deaf ministry. Well, that's unique. And there is a large concentration of deaf individuals that are in that community. That may not be in your community, but there may be others in your community. We lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky at one time, and there was a large population of Bosnian people and even some Russian people in my community. Well, that's I would have never guessed that until I moved there. And so what they're doing in New York is they are creatively trying to address a need that is there. It's different. I'm not sure how all they're going to do that, but is it going to expand their discipleship efforts? Absolutely it is. Okay, so when we're going back and forth on the grants, theirs goes a little higher because it hits the innovative part, expands discipleship. Now, I could talk about some others. I talk about a church in Arizona that kind of rose a little bit when they were doing backpacks filled with food for public school kids that are in need, that you give those backpacks out to the kids on the weekends, and they don't have food at home, and so they're helping them. A special needs prom for the community, providing resources to the schools in that area for the teachers. All of those things are creative. All of those expand the discipleship. A church in South Carolina, when you kind of saw the grant approval, it kind of just said food truck. And you read that and you're like, the church got a grant for a food truck? What? Well, when you understand the basis behind the grant, this was not just, okay, we have a food pantry. No, we're taking the food pantry on the road. We're going to take it mobile. We're going to expand out into our community. And then in addition to that, it's going to be able to provide opportunity when there are storms, there's natural disasters that come our way, again, South Carolina with hurricanes and different things like that. You know, all of that happens to be able to go into an area that's remote, that you can't get food in, that people are without power, and that's a creative kind of innovation that expands the footprint of discipleship beyond just where we are in our church building and on our property. So again, that's kind of where we are. Now, do we get a lot of requests for church vans and church signs? Do we get requests to help repair camp buildings and roofs and build classrooms and expand a wing onto our Christian school? We do. We get all of those. And I promise you, I hate to say the word painstakingly, but we go through every word of every grant and we go back and forth. This is a very diverse group of people. We go back and forth. We're all, hey, I see merit here. I see merit here. But we come back to this objective criteria. And this is ultimately the deciding factor. And many times, those grants will be one right against another, and then this innovative solution will be the tipping point because, again, it is creatively addressing a ministry need, and it's expanding the discipleship efforts into the future. And so if you can hit those two areas, you're going to score and get a little extra bonus points. It's going to put you up to where you get the grant request that you're asking for. So I'll turn things over to the last part here to Bo Scott.
All right, so we used objective and subjective. The first two are much more objective. You can tell who it is, what they're requesting, if it's denominationally essential. Innovative, we know just based upon the pages that are written to us. If it's something we have not seen, if we feel like it can expand our footprint, if it's very creative, subjective. The last two are objective, rather. The last two are a little bit more subjective, where we have to assume a little bit. Maybe that's why they let me do this part. I don't know. So, and let me give you some for instances, okay? We can get a purchase of a van grant from a church that, you know, maybe runs 50 folks, and it's an 11-passenger van, and we have to navigate through that along with many that are similar. At the same time, we're having to navigate through a request to build a church in Africa for a church that's really growing and they're meeting under a tree. Again, of the two I've got to cover, impact and generational, well, I think you see where the 11-passenger van struggles a little bit. Let me give you another one. We've had requests for Sunday school material and VBS for churches that, by the way, are just in need of some help. Maybe they're wanting to do it bigger this year, and we get that. And we are in no way, and the two that I'm supposed to cover are greater impact and long-term implication. We are in no way trying to be the impact police. I can say this for me, every grant request that I have read, and I've been a part of each one of these boards, all but the first one. They all have impact. They all would make a difference to the church, to the community. So we're not saying, okay, well, you're not really making an impact, and you really are, so here's some money. That's not what we're doing, because they all have impact. But we have to be able to grade on this particular one what would make the greater impact. Again, grant request yields the largest expansion of gospel presentation, discipleship, and ministry to people. The question we want to ask ourselves is, how many people does this really have the potential of reaching? We don't know. That's why it's subjective. But we can assume based upon what we do know, roughly how many? All right, so take these two scenarios, a church needing help with Sunday school material or VBS material, or writing a grant to help, we'll use Randall House as an example, purchase equipment that would print tens of thousands of books and things that would reach hundreds of thousands of people potentially in Free Will Baptist and beyond. Do you see the difference? Not that we always want to lean heavy on denominational enterprises, even though that is who we want to service first. And we talk about that. But what I would say to each one of us is that greater impact has to play into it. We desire for our money to echo much further than the amount of money that we can give. Picture skipping a rock across the water. If you skip a rock across the water, were you successful if you just threw the rock in or when you skipped it eight times? What we're trying to do is use this rubric and use the great people in this committee that on this committee we have. Who do we have on the committee? We have pastors, businessmen, people that have worked in financial fields. We have ministry leaders. We have a great group, a great collage of people that lead heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're trying to skip every dollar as far as we can. And so greater impact does make a difference. Now, I know these illustrations are probably a little extreme, but we have camps and churches and schools and missions works that we are trying to come alongside in the best way possible. So this factor does matter. If you are truly wanting to write a grant request, you need to write it for something that's going to reach a ton of people. Something that's going to reach a ton of people. Because our funds are limited. And again, $750,000 sounds like a lot, but it's really not. And $1 million, we're hoping to get there soon. But it's really not with the request and what we want to do. And so we have to make every dollar count. So the question we're answering with this one is, how many people does this really have the potential of reaching? And then your categories are, will it directly impact 100? That's 0 to 5. Will it directly impact 100 to 999? That would score somewhere between 6 and 10. 11 to 15 is 1,000 to 5,000. And then 16 to 20 is over 5,000. Again, you know, do numbers matter? It's not numbers, it's impact. Impact does matter. And then long-term implication. And I'm going to hurry through this so we can have some time for some Q&A. This grant request, does it result in the largest longevity of ministry advancement and growth? Again, 0 to 5 is 5 years. The next one is 5 to 10. The next one is 10 to 20, which affects 1 to 2 generations. And then we have some that will affect 20 plus years, which is a big deal to us because it's making an impact for future generations. The question we're trying to answer is, how long will this grant directly affect people? Not inadvertently, but directly affect people. And we're looking to see some things come to pass that will have a tremendous amount of generational impact. Again, we're trying to see these funds echo maybe even after we're long gone, you know, from this board or even from the Lord Terry's is coming from the world. Brother David, he's going to be retiring in the next 30 or 40 years, right? And I know that he wants to see this have impact long after he's the director of the Free Will Baptist Foundation. And so the time, the clock does matter. And so with this rubric, denominationally essential, innovative solution, does it have greater impact and long-term implication? This is just a guidepost for you and for everybody who would submit a grant request to us.